I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live. I shall call upon Him as long as I live. Verse 9, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 13, I shall lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to tell others about salvation. Verse 17, to Thee, to You, Lord, I'll offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then the one that he repeats twice, I shall, verse 14, pay my vows to the Lord. I shall, verse 18, pay my vows to the Lord.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in Psalm 116. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, I Love the Lord Because. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Many of the Psalms are this way. The Psalms are horizontal. When the psalmist says, praise the Lord, he's telling you and me. So he speaks horizontally to others. This is a testimony. And by the way, we should do that. Has the Lord helped you? Has the Lord saved you? Tell people. Speak as a testimony. He speaks horizontally, but he also speaks vertically within the psalm. He speaks right to the Lord. There's direct address right here in the psalm, right to the Lord. Verse 8, You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. In the midst of his testimony, he just starts saying right to the Lord, You have rescued my soul from death. You have rescued my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Oh, Lord, verse 16, he stops right in the middle and just addresses the Lord. Oh, Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You've loosed my bonds. To you I will offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. So the psalm will often do this. The psalmist will often do this, by the way. But this psalm, I want you to see, it speaks horizontally. And then the psalmist, in deep personal joy and adoration, just speaks vertically to the Lord. And then, interestingly enough, he also speaks to himself. To himself. Verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. When you contemplate your salvation, when you say, I was in a mess, I cried out, he heard me. I said, save me, and he did. When you contemplate that, he's compassionate, he's gracious, he preserves the simple. As you contemplate your salvation, it's good to talk to yourself about it. And the Psalms do. And the psalmist does. Verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul. Maybe you're starting to get anxious again. Maybe you're starting to build up stress again. Talk to yourself. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Scott, rest. Relax. The Lord is for you. He's lavished His grace on you. He's dealt bountifully with you. What are you worried about? It's good to talk to yourself. Not all the time. Sometimes you find me talking to myself and you say, Scott, take it easy. But when I'm rehearsing God's grace, you know, I don't even care if you overhear at that point. What's he talking about? He's talking about his Lord. He's talking about the Savior. And then notice, too, he asks a question, verse 12, which is the hinge point of the psalm. And in one sense, I want to say this second half is secondary because, man, I love the Lord because He saved me. If you get that, I think you'll get the rest, actually. But the psalmist does give us a second half to the psalm, and he does ask a question: what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He asks a great question, in fact. You know, the one before, when I mentioned that Scott just quoted this psalm, actually this very question, verse 12, it spoke, because it was Scripture processed through a life, through real life. You know, that was just, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days after Easter. And I know many of you know Scott Curtis, our elder, one of our elders at the meeting, you know, but many of you don't. His son Tim was leading us in worship this morning and over on Easter when he told the story of how he had trusted the Lord through the loss of his brother Nathan, 23 years old, just a year ago. And of course, Scott and Diane had gone through that loss. And then, you know, we might forget the wildfires down in California, Chico and Paradise, that town that just went away, just got burned out. 85, I think, died. Well, Scott's parents lost everything, lost their house and everything in that Paradise. And they're now living with Scott and Diane. And then Tuesday, Easter, you know, we celebrate, and we do, we rejoice. And so many people said, man, what Tim shared just spoke to my heart. To me, I heard, and I said, mine too. And then Tuesday, 2 days later, I'm in an appointment, and I get a text, and Scott had gone to the doctor with chest pain, and he's in the ambulance. They're rushing him to the hospital. And I went, whoa. And all I can tell you is that, I could tell you more, but I will just say, Tuesday, that was his day. Wednesday, they went in and put a stent in. Thursday, he was, actually, even on Tuesday and Wednesday when I talked with him, I could see his joyous smile over the phone. Trusting the Lord. And he'll probably tell me, Scott, you shouldn't share those stories, because he didn't want to be put up. I'm telling you, his Lord has saved him. And Thursday night, he called and said, I'll see you tomorrow morning. I said, what? And we prayed Friday morning. And that's when the 116th Psalm spoke to us. Scripture processed through real life. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And he shared with us in 30 seconds the question. And the way he put it was, as I read this and mulled this over, it was as if the Lord said, what are you here for? What are you investing in? What are you spending your life on? And I'll tell you what, the 116th Psalm became a focus of mine. And I'm telling you what I've learned since then, you know, 10 days later. What shall I render to the Lord? It's a great question. It's a great question. And by the way, regularly, when we come around the table and we think about what he has done, we should think, what am I going to do about it? Why do I love the Lord? What am I going to do about it? It's a simple, simple thought. I can't leave that without saying, about an hour later, one of our other elders, Gary Ott, was on the phone with me, and he said, don't you love those 30-second sermons from Scott? And I said, yes, I do. Yes, I knew exactly what he was saying. Because we've heard him before. It isn't just in the crisis of life. And I'll tell you, it's a great question to ask. Okay, let's look a little more closely. I love the Lord. Why do I love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? John Mitchell used to say, do you love the Savior? Not do you believe in Christ? Not do you have faith in God? Do you love him? Do you love him? Charles Spurgeon commenting on this phrase, I love the Lord said it's the sweetest of all graces, and it's the surest of all evidences of salvation. Well, I believe in God. The demons believe in God and shudder, this Bible answers. Do you love Him? I love the Lord. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to die on a cross for us, to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, the description of a believer, of a Christ follower, it comes in one of my, and I would assume yours if you know him, one of your favorite verses. We know that God, the sovereign God, who can stand against the Lord God Almighty? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I say it because we can get into liturgy, you know what I mean? And we can start, and I don't mean to depreciate, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But I'm telling you, that's not what the Bible says. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I love that little phrase, those who love Him, is embedded right in that eternal, Romans 8, truth. It's the description of a believer. By the way, it's the prerequisite for usefulness. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter, do you love? Three times he asked him. Why? Well, for Peter's sake, for the disciples' sake, and for our sake. It's written for our instruction. Do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. Because I love the Lord because, you know, when I was young, it was popular to say that God's love is just unconditional, you know. And so our love should be that way. And if you ever say, like, you love your wife because, you know. And I'll just say what I've been on my mind. God, His sovereign love, He says, it pleased the Lord, you know, to reveal these things to the He hid these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to babes. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And His love is unconditional. It is not because Scott is lovable. Thank God for that. So the truth to that, you know. But naturally, when we say, I love Him, there's a because. He's worthy of our love. He ought to be loved. He's so lovable. I love the Lord because. So don't shy away from the word because when you're talking about your love to Him. And you think about His love for you. Don't use a because. He loves me because I'm pretty good guy. Yuck. You know what I mean? But I love the Lord because He hears. He hears. He's not like those false gods that people make up. Glance up the page, 115, verse 6. Talking about the false gods, the idols that people made with their hands out of silver and gold. They have ears, but they cannot hear. I love the Lord because He hears. The one who made our ears hears. By the way, let me just read that. Glance up the page if you're working off that page there. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. The psalmist will have nothing of comparative religions in the world today. The psalmist knows the Lord. And he says he's not like those gods that people make up. Our God hears. They have hands, but they can't feel. I mean, he lays it on, doesn't he? Verse 7. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. He's not like some idol you made with your hands. He's not like just some, the force. I mean, there's something, there had to be something, the Big Bang. No, if that's all you have, you don't have him. I love the Lord because he hears. And then look at it. Because he hears me, my voice, my supplications. He's inclined his ears to me. So often the psalmist says this, and they become anchors for our soul. This poor man cried, the Psalm 34, you know. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him out of all his troubles. Aren't you glad the Lord heard you? Can you say that? The Lord heard me. He hears me. You see, this isn't, oh yes, I believe in the God of the Bible, or I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That truth is wonderful, but this is so personal. When you know him, you love him because he heard you. He saved you. The cords of death encompassed me. Death wasn't just a theory. The wages of sin is death. No, I had experienced the depths of my sin. The tears of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Have you been there? That's why another elder shared with us in three different occasions that same week. That's why these psalms are afresh on my mind. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Have you been there? Verse 3, Jonah was. Let me encourage you. You say, well, I doubt I'll ever be in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. But Jonah was. The Lord put him there to get his attention. And if you read the first 9 verses of Jonah 2, you have a vivid description of a man out of verse 3. I was in terror and distress. I was brought low. I was engulfed. And I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. David was. Read the 18th Psalm, verses, I think, 3, 4, 5, 6, right in there at the start of the 18th Psalm. Cry out. Cry out to the Lord. And go find places that you can use as you know, placed a home base to let Psalm 116 speak even louder. Then I called, verse 4, upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Save my life. O Lord, save. And he did. He's gracious, verse 5. He's compassionate. He preserves the simple. He's loosed my bonds, verse 16. Now, what do I intend to do about it? I said this is secondary, and I'm just going to briefly touch on it, but I do want to. Notice you can kind of tie my thoughts here, or the psalmist's thoughts, verse 12, that great question, what shall I do? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'm just going to tie it around the little phrase, I shall. Okay? In fact, verses 1 and 2 give the whole psalm. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. Okay? I shall call upon him as long as I live. Verse 9, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 13, I shall lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to tell others about salvation. Okay? Verse 17, to thee, to you, Lord, I'll offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then the one that he repeats twice, I shall, verse 14, pay my vows to the Lord. I shall, verse 18, pay my vows to the Lord. And I would take it like this. That's kind of the umbrella term. What should I render to the Lord? I'm going to pay my vows. You say, pay my vows? What does that mean, Scott? How do you do that? That seems legal. That seems like religion. No, the psalmist isn't talking that way at all. It's like an umbrella term. I'll pay my vow. I resolve. Let me put it this way. Resolve to live for Christ. Resolve to walk before the Lord, verse 9. Resolve to give praise with your lips, to give thanksgiving. Resolve. Don't resolve like Peter. I'd die for you, Lord. Don't resolve like Peter, but do resolve. Do resolve. When I came to the point in my life, I still remember when I was being asked to give myself to him. There was this gnawing voice that said, you can't do it. You won't be able to follow through. I've seen people, other people that make some deal and then they fall back. That's what you'll be. That was not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Except insofar as it's true. I can't do it. Okay? But that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to respond to Jesus Christ, and he comes into my life, and his Holy Spirit changes me from the inside out. So at the initial call to salvation, when you call on the name of the Lord, he hears, he delivers, he delivers in every sense of the word. And then daily, as you call upon the name of the Lord, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord, verse 2, as long as I live, the psalmist says. With my lips, I'm going to call upon him. I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to have the sacrifice of praise. That's Hebrews 13, 15, and it's right out of this psalm. Just praising God for what he's done, verbalizing that it's not you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then with your lifestyle, your walk.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, I Love the Lord Because, a message from the 116th Psalm. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Southwest Bible would like to invite you to our outdoor Sunday evenings this coming August 7th through the 28th. We'll be hosting four different events this August, from our annual car show on the 7th to our first responders night on the 28th. Head over to our website at swbible.org for more information about times and events. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
The mother of Moses, she hid him for 3 months. The story just tells it like this. Born in obscurity, born in slavery, gives birth in a time of very real danger. God brought the deliverer of Israel, born of a woman, born of a mother. He brought the deliverer of Israel through a godly mother. God brought the deliverer of the world through a godly mother. The Word became flesh in the womb of a godly mother.
Join us again next time as we turn to the early part of the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, A Story of a Godly Mother. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.